baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. What's up, Goes?
What up?
Not much, man. Here we are, halfway through the week, and again, this is the second week in a row that we don't have to worry about drama, fighters getting in trouble, controversies, things that make us look bad, or having to, you know, make excuses for fighters and them and their mishaps. You know what I mean? I think we can just talk about fights that are happening this weekend in the UFC, in Bellator, and then some nice fight bookings. That's the way it should be, Goes. You know, like, think about the NFL, for example. In the NFL, there's been so many injuries. I think you're, of course, you want to get the win, and then the next thing you're holding your breath for is how many guys, you know, are in the infirmary, you know, and how many are going to be there next week, because it's so important.
Yeah, can you imagine playing fantasy football this year? Jeez. How brutal that would have been?
Yeah, exactly. But MMA, you know, we had a lot of, like, just a lot of fighters getting in some trouble. You know, a couple of USADA people got blasted a few weeks ago. And, you know, granted, I mean, yeah, of course, what happened in Mexico, I get it. Not, you know, but that, I think we're a little bit past that. Although, we're actually going to lead off with that. So, Bellator, UFC, a rebooking. Buckle up, Junkie Nation. We are coming at you here with the second show of the week. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and popular apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press Podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com. All right, so obviously our video had resurfaced, and by the time we did our show early on Monday, we hadn't really heard of all this, but back in the hotel in Mexico City, we had a confrontation between Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens. I'll save you all the details. All that's been on Junkie. It's been retweeted. I think you all saw what happened. Basically, Yair just said something along the lines of what happened, but not really like in a friendly, you know, not giving off a friendly vibe. Stephens said, hey, look, you're within my range. Gave him a shove. That's all it really was. Unfortunately, some homophobic slurs were traded. But beyond all that, what I mean is a street fight didn't take place. But one thing we said was, hey, man, this thing just needs to be rebooked. Well, guess what? It's going down. It's been rebooked for the UFC card in Boston. I'm excited.
Okay. Let's start off with the rebooking. I'm excited for it, too. But I don't know if people grasp this right away. The way it was rebooked completely changes the dynamic of the fight. It's now a co-main event. So it's not going to go five rounds. They went from five rounds to three rounds. It's not a title fight.
Right.
So now it's three rounds, which you would imagine that something like that would favor a guy like Jeremy Stephens, a power puncher. He doesn't have to really pace himself as much. Yair sometimes can be like a little bit of a late starter. So I think this actually will work in Jeremy Stephens' favor.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to see five rounds of it. Now we're going to see three. And I think I actually prefer to see three, because I think we're going to see three rounds of just cartoons, feet, and punches flying everywhere. I think that's where this fight's going to be best. Big dust ball. It's going to be like that.
Yeah.
So I actually think this is going to work out. It didn't work out for the fans in Mexico, but it's going to work out for us.
Well, one thing I was going to note, because here's the info. It's on October 18th at the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Like Ghost said, it's the co-main event to Dominic Reyes and Chris Weidman. Remember, this is the fight card that lost Calvin Kattar and Zabit Magomed Karamov. Jesus, there's so many of these Dagestani fighters. Like, mix them all up. But everybody knows Zabit.
Starting to piss me off.
Yes. So that fight's gone, but they replace it with this one. Now, one thing I had thought about was, I wonder if each guy just said, hey, if you show up at 150, I'll show up at 150. Because these guys already put themselves through a weight cut. And, you know, you're going to have like a little mini camp, because it's not like they fell out of shape. Mm-hmm. But they still have to go through the weight cut again. And I think we'd all be cool with if they just fought at 150 and spared themselves in the last five rounds.
That'd be fair.
But then just go out there. However, one nice thing is now they know that that body is built for five rounds at high altitude. Mm-hmm. They'll gladly take the three rounds here.
Yeah, no. I think it's going to work out for everybody. It's in our favor. It's just going to be a lightning bolt, thunder strike, whatever you want to call it, for three rounds. I am totally in. And now we have that buildup of the shove that Jeremy Stephens gave him in the hotel lobby. And it's unfortunate, the homophobic slurs that were thrown out there. But now it's like there's something behind it. It makes you feel like, now I got to see what's going to happen here.
Does Yair get a pass because he's not an American?
No.
He basically returned the homophobic slur.
No.
And he almost sounded uncomfortable saying it. Because, again, it's a second language. He's not from this country. He probably wouldn't know what's acceptable and what isn't. You know,
it's your job to know. So, like, my girlfriend is from Mexico City. Whenever I talk to my cousins or anybody else in Spanish, which I do speak, when I do that, I always, when I'm not too sure about something, I always ask. Because I don't want to offend anyone. You can offend people in any language. And I'm always kind of careful with that. I'm like, hey, can you say this or can you say that? I think it should be the same thing for him. He should just know those things like right away. Like, what are the things? He should see his other fighters on the roster, mm-hmm, when they get in trouble, and should go, what did they do? But so
Spanish
that I don't
and English
do
is a huge vocabulary. And now in the heat of the moment, man, Someone shoves you, calls you a name. You just hit them back with it in Spanish. You don't really have time to clear it. Like, is this acceptable? You know what I mean?
But you learn the word, right? At some point, you heard the word and you go, what's that?
Yeah.
And somebody said, it's this. He should just kind of know better, I think, at this point.
What should happen,
Jeremy,
by the way?
Definitely know better.
What should happen? The UFC usually
they have to say something.
Makes a statement that they won't tolerate it, but obviously they do tolerate it because other fighters have had unfortunate instances involving this. And I will say this, and of course I don't mean to be insensitive, but I don't think either guy said it with the intention the way it's hurtful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a word that you grew up on the playground saying, and in that heat of the moment, you just, boom, this is what you throw at someone because it's probably been thrown at your way 100,000 times, and you've done the same thing. And so, again, I'm not condoning it or anything like that, but at least that's the, I don't even want to say the glimmer, but anyway, how would you deal with this?
If I'm the UFC,
yeah,
the first question I'm going to ask myself is, do you want it to go away? If you really want it to go away, then I think you got to hit him where it hurts, and that's money. And what I would do is probably kind of meet in the middle where you say something like, all right, man, we've said this a bunch of times now. Here's a list of guys that we've come down on for doing this. You should know by this point, you guys aren't eligible for bonuses that night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Something like that.
On top of a fine or just that?
No, just that.
Okay. I was going to say fine them according to some sort of a percentage, maybe, according to maybe what they make with a certain cap. Mm-hmm. But I still would like, even if it's just one day, something in the community and some sort of a public apology.
I mean, that would work too.
If you mean it, if you really mean it, you know what I mean? If you as an organization mean it, then you need your fighters, your athletes, to also understand it and mean it, not just fork over the money or anything like that. Because, again, the fighters will fork it over, but did they really learn? And as long as they're fighting under your umbrella, they represent you in a way. So, again, I think that's the way you convey it. Hey, look, Mr. Stevens, this is George from the UFC. As you know, this is what we settled on, and we agreed that on October 30th, you know, a couple weeks after your fight, I'll be flying into San Diego, and we're going to go to a couple schools, or we're going to go, you know, do this in the community or whatever. And this is a day that you're basically with us. And then, and so you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you have to do something like that.
But this, my, if you want it to go
away,
that,
if you want it to go away,
I think that's okay. But my issue with that is if I'm another fighter on the roster, I'm just looking at two guys that kind of got thrown in detention, and that's on them. That money came out of them. But if I see that the UFC did that to the bonuses for that fight, I kind of look at it as, oh, shit, that could happen to me now. Because if they did that to him, well, and I were to do something.
And a fine as well.
And a fine on top of that. Yeah, like I would look at it as I need to watch my back, because something that I may do could cause me to not be eligible for a bonus. And that's a lot of money.
Right. But again, we're just thinking on the wavelength of money. And trust me, I'm the worst at that. What I'm saying is, when the way you learn something is to experience it. This is going to sound totally ridiculous, and I'm going to lose a lot of street cred. But this is, I don't know why I'm going down this road. I should I'm stop excited. Right now. Check this out. A long time ago.
I set this up real quick?
Sure.
This is going to be George's last dumb thing he says before he turns 50. Before he turns 50.
Yes, he turns 50 I'm going to go out in
so
style.
This is going to be his last dumb thing.
Back when I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Back when Caitlyn Jenner was Bruce Jenner, back when Kendall and Kylie, the two young ones, were were like teenagers. Right now they're young ladies. They're both over 21. I think we can even go, oh my God, she's hot. No, one of them's a supermodel, and the other one's an Instagram model, and whatever. One of them's a billionaire, by the way. Anyway, because they were rich and privileged, so again, they were like teenagers. And I was a fan of Bruce, man. I you just mentioned my age, 1976. I remember the Wheaties box. I remember him, winning it for the United States. It was the Olympics in Montreal, if I'm not mistaken, 1976. So I was a fan of Bruce. Anyway, he felt like the Dodgers were kind of disconnecting a little bit because of their wealth and privilege and everything. But one day he actually drove them down to like more of a downtown LA setting, and he made the girls actually meet like under some other girls that were underprivileged and work on a project, community stuff. I don't remember like in details, my memory.
Was it a soup kitchen or something like
that? Something like that. But I remember the girls at the end going, like on their way, they didn't go. They were rolling their eyes, and they're obviously playing on their phones. But on the way back, like you could tell like, they understood it because they experienced it. They thanked their dad, and obviously it was like a Cosby moment. Like, and that's the lesson for today. You know what I mean? But I thought that was pretty smart of Bruce to handle it that way with his daughters. You know what I mean?
And not that
it stayed with them, because you see the lives they lead now. But still, that was like literally 10 years ago, and then I just remember thinking like, good move, Bruce.
This is gonna sound silly, but in the United States, there's. Sometimes people just kind of keep to their area, to their people, and they're shocked when they see how other people live. For me, going out and traveling the world, and you see how other people live and what they have to go through, just the things that we take for granted,
right.
Like just paved roads that just seem so automatic to us. And if there's like a pothole or something, we're complaining. Like, have you ever been on a road in another country? Like, they don't have a lot of that stuff. So I think that's where you kind of grow as a person. So, yeah, you're right. Maybe if you put them in that situation, they kind of see and hear from people that actually had to go through it. Maybe that would help them. I could see that.
Right. And hopefully the athletes are also receptive of it. Because if you're putting on your Instagram or Twitter, from the bottom of my heart, I apologize. Are you just going through the act?
The motions, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or do you really mean it? And if you do, then take half a day from your life to go out there and learn something. And give back to that way. And I'm telling you, it'll be good for you, for one. Two, it'll make the apology seem more sincere. And three, it'll make the company look like they really do take this serious, and they don't want to just, like, you know, brush it under the rug or nothing like that.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Well, anyway, the fight is rebooked for October 18th, and that's UFC on ESPN6, Reyes versus Weidman. It's now the co-main event. And we get to see Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens.
Can I ask my first stupid question of 41?
Sure.
The little bit that played out in the fight, is there anything you could look at that would make the line change at all. Anything that's happened between now and then, the shoves, anything. Because remember, this is an emotional sport.
The only thing is you made a good point about the five rounds of three. Mm-hmm. So anybody that's breaking it down and knows, like, in Steven's 40 fights, you know, his gas tank.
The line's going to move,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe something based on that, but nothing based on what they saw in Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you have it. All right, now let's not talk about what's happening in October. Let's talk about what's happening in September. We'll start off with the UFC. They are the number one promotion in the sport. UFC on ESPN plus 18, Hermanson versus Cannonier. But that's one hell of a main event, by the way. These are middleweights.
It's under the radar.
Yeah, and I could see both guys really, really being in a good spot once Whitaker and Adesanya settle the undisputed belt versus the interim belt. So basically, once they unify, which is a few weeks away, then one of these guys could be in the running. So really, really keep an eye on this bout. They're out in Copenhagen, Denmark, and everything is going to start real early. So let me pay attention right here, folks. Let me give you some time so you don't mess it up. On Saturday, everything starts at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on ESPN+. It's all going to be on ESPN+. Then the main card, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, with a main event of Jack Hermanson versus Jared Cannonier. And I've been a little critical. Look, there's some names, Gunnar Nelson, OSP, Alex Oliveira. The UFC always stocks the shelves nicely there, but they're not really matched up against another name where you're like, ooh, can't wait for that one. There's, you know, the mouth-watering ones. So do like I do. Make bets, and trust me, your morning/afternoon will get a lot more exciting. But without that, I could just see this one being one that's just not talked about as much on Saturday.
I completely disagree with the line on the main event. All right, you got Jack Hermanson. He's minus 260. Jared Cannonier comes back at plus 210. I think it should be a little bit closer. I'm tired of betting against Jack Hermanson. I've learned my lesson.
You feel like a joker for doing that?
That's funny. But I think that line should be a little bit closer, don't you?
Maybe
180?
I do too.
I think sounds about
Cannonier's
right.
Power. And you know, if I'm not mistaken, why am I going to risk it when all I have to do is, folks, if you click these fighters, when you go to schedule or results or anything, all of our fighters are there, and they've taken the time, the editorial has taken the time to give you a list of some of the fighters that they fought. So it's like the fighter profile. Click it. I just did that real quick, and I remember there was a fight when he was on the ground with a jiu-jitsu specialist. It was David Branch, by the way. And Cannonier is not a fish out of water. Now, is Branch is pretty highly touted as a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. It seems like Hermanson's probably, for MMA, maybe a little more dangerous. But still, I think Cannonier can survive. And Cannonier's just got incredible cracking. Man, he can crack. You know what I mean? So I agree, Goes. Hermanson is a favorite. I get that. But Cannonier can win this fight. And I'm going to bet him.
You're going to bet him? I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah, I'm going to put my money more.
I can't do it. I can't do it again. I always bet against Hermanson. He always makes me look stupid. But this seems like one of those perfect scenarios where Jared's game just kind of, as an underdog, sure, at plus 210, give me him. But I'm going to have to stay away. The fight that I'm looking forward to the most on this card, though, is Gilbert Burns and Gunnar Nelson.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, if that one hits the ground, it'll be a lot of fun. And then sometimes they cancel each other and they'll just throw some hands, and I can deal with that as well. But I would really love to see, because both of these guys are so good, they could enter the biggest submission grappling tournaments of the world. In fact, they have.
Yeah.
And, they're not, I don't think they're a threat to win them, but still, when you're one of the top 8, 16, 32 in a weight class at any particular time in your career, you've done something pretty damn good.
If you want to sell this card, look at the gambling aspect of it and look at the lines. There aren't that many fights where the favorite is just astronomical. Like, everything's pretty close. I'm looking at minus 160, plus 130, another minus 160, plus 130, minus 150, plus 120, minus 185, plus 155, plus 120, minus 150. I mean, minus 125, minus 105. Like, these are all close fights.
Maybe just take the dog on all of them.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. It looks like there's about 12 fights. What? Just take the dog on all of them. Mm-hmm. Except I'm not going against Chasson. I really like her. Macy Chasson?
Mm-hmm.
She impresses me, and she keeps getting better. She's nasty. I think she might be a world champion one day. I mean, look, I have to catch myself. I know she's in the same group as Amanda Nunes, and that young lady seems unbeatable. She's, you know, the GOAT. But I think Chasson can at least contend. There you go. Maybe challenge for a title. All right. Now, Bellator. It's a mess. So here we go. First of all, they have two fight cards that are going down. One of them's in Europe. It's in Dublin, Ireland. And that one's split into two. The other one is in Inglewood, California. Again, they're both on Saturday. And now I'm going to go back to Bellator 227. Sorry, Bellator 227 is on Friday. I meant to say they're in the same weekend. Bellator 227 is on Friday. And it's headlined by Benson Henderson versus Miles Jury. It's going to be on tape delay on Paramount on DAZN. And DAZN, excuse me, at 9 p.m. Eastern. That is your main event. That's Bellator 227.
Do you know
Bellator Europe, because it's on the Bellator app and Bellator Junkie, it's just worded differently, but it's the same night out there in Dublin, Ireland. That one you can watch live at 5 p.m. Eastern with James Gallagher versus Roman Salazar in the main event. And also Michael Venom Page comes back after taking that loss versus Douglas Lima. He's back in action. He's one of their most exciting fighters.
So the first one we cannot watch live, even if we wanted to. Correct. Right, even through DAZN, we can't do that.
Correct.
When it does air, are they doing half DAZN, half Paramount, or can you just pick and choose at that point?
I'm not sure. I think you can pick and choose.
Okay.
I think both are available at 9 p.m. Eastern, but on tape delay. So you want to stay away from spoilers if you want to sit down and that's going to be your Friday night. You want to watch it that way. That's what you do.
That's unacceptable.
Tell me about it.
At this point, at this day and age, I love Bellator. I love me some Bellator. But you just can't do that. You can't. I hear you. There's especially too many things going on.
When they have DAZN, the Bellator app. I mean, DAZN we pay for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the Bellator app. And, of course, the ability to just stream it like on Junkie or whatever. It just has to be live. But I think it basically boils down to TV contracts. And that's why it's called Bellator Europe 4, Gallagher versus Salazar and Bellator 227. It's all happening on the same night in the same spot, but it's just separated into two cards, and it's the dumbest thing ever. And then the next day, they're in Inglewood for Bellator 228. Now, that one will be live on DAZN at 10 p.m. Eastern for the main card, and that includes Lyoto Machida versus Gegard Mousasi. They ran it, by the way, one time in the UFC. Lyoto got the best of them. Gegard accused him of performance-enhancing drugs. So they're in the main event, and then this is what I'm really excited about, that Grand Prix. We got the other half of the 16. So we got eight fighters in four fights.
Fun.
And look at these names. Patricio Frady, Pitbull. He's the champ at Bellator. He's the featherweight and lightweight champ. So he'll be defending his featherweight title along the way as he participates in this Grand Prix, where the winner gets a belt and $1 million. He's defending against Juan Archuleta in the co-main event. Darian Caldwell, their former bantamweight champion, moves up to featherweight. He fights Henry Corrales. Saul Rogers, remember him from The Ultimate Fighter a few seasons ago? He fights Daniel Weichel, all right? And then Georgie Karakanyan takes on A.J. McKee.
Weichel's very underrated. And the Karakanyan fight, A.J. McKee, that one could either be really lopsided or a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, they also have some pretty decent names here. If you want to watch some of the earlier fights, 7:30 p.m. Eastern start time on MMA Junkie. I'm not going to go through all the matchups, but these are either UFC vets or Bellator vets. Leandro Higo, Sean Bunch, David Duran, Antonio McKee. That's AJ McKee's pops. Mm-hmm. So historically, there's going to be a son and father, all of the Griffies in baseball, participating on the same fight card. Johnny Cisneros, AJ Agazarm. He's a grappler, amazing grappler, but he's turned into a pretty decent MMA fighter. So again, they've littered the undercard with a ton of matchups. So if you really, really want to just sit back on a Saturday, go to MMA Junkie at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then don't forget, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the main card for Bellator 228.
Bellator did a really good job, and they do this very well. They're behind-the-scenes vignettes, I think is what they're called. They did a really cool one on Antonio and AJ McKee. Watch that. If you have an opportunity to watch it, watch it. It's very cool. Because you're right. It's a very unique story. When are you ever going to see something like that?
All right. I'll check it out. All right. So that's what's happening this weekend. And we talked about some of the matchups that are out there. Now let's have a little bit of fun and go over some of the news nuggets that are out there, guys. All right, we're going to start off with one of my favorites, Artem Lobov, the GOAT. He, of course, is a bare-knuckle fighter, a successful one who's making a lot of money, and he's their guy over at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. However, he wants to dip his toe back in MMA, and he's throwing out some matchups. But Artem's creative goes, remember, this is a guy that's got a 500 record in MMA, but people pay attention. It's one of those where you love him, you hate him. Well, guess what? He's won a lot of people over, even the ones that used to hate him, because he goes out there and he has exciting fights. Even the times that he's lost, like the fight to Cub Swanson. That wasn't an easy fight for Cub Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, what he did in bare knuckle was pretty amazing. Jason Knight and Pauly Malignaggi, man. You got to tip your hat to that. This is what he wants to do. Artem Lobov says he wants to fight Zubair Tukhugov, who's part of the Khabib crew. Mm-hmm. Part of the Khabib crew that was involved in the fracas set after UFC 229. He says he'll fight him. He'll fight him in Russia, and he'll fight him for free.
That part of it, yeah. It is a headline, but what if the UFC says, okay. And now I know there's a rule. You have to at least pay him $1 or something like
probably,
that, right?
Yeah.
But why?
I think just to get the attention. A, he probably got their attention. B, it was retweeted. Three, you and I are talking about it.
I don't know that that has the type of heat, because he was also talking about being on that card with the two, what are those guys, like those internet personality guys? I forget what they're
called. Yeah, well, that's the other one I was going to go to in just a second. Logan Paul. KSI. Yeah, he wants to be on the undercard there and do a boxing match. Boxing, not bare knuckle, mm-hmm. against Pauly Malignaggi. Kind of like
that was
back.
Interesting.
So I like the way that he's saddling up and to big news.
Mm-hmm.
So the free thing is just, I think, an attention grabber. If they called him on it, who knows? Maybe there's something behind the scenes where Connor goes, mate, go out there and do it. I'll slide you 50K. You know, if you,
that'd be dope.
You know what I mean? Something like that. I don't know. Artem's not dumb. I think that's just a headline grabber. Plus, he is, even though he's part of the SBG team, even though he rolls with Connor, and that's, you know, he's basically siding, you know, kind of keeping up the animosity between both of those teams. He's also born in Russia. He's forged in Ireland, but he's born in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So he can
lived
speak,
in Argentina.
He can speak Russian, and for him to go back for the Moscow card probably wouldn't be bad for the UFC.
Yeah. Do you want to see
Remember,
these guys just
when they
compete
parted ways
over and
goes,
over?
They didn't cut him. He just decided not to re-sign.
Do you want to see Artem Lobov and Pauly Malignaggi? Almost like the Scooby-Doo Laugh Olympics. They do bare knuckle. They do boxing. They do win an MMA. What's left? Arm wrestling? Grappling?
Pauly wouldn't do MMA. And it's interesting that I think Pauly should do the boxing.
I think he should too.
Because
I think people might buy it.
Yeah, he should do the boxing, but I think it should be a co-main event. Like this weekend, Sean Porter will be boxing against Errol Spence Jr. But mm-hmm. if you told me the co-main event was Pauly versus Artem, I'd be digging it.
Dude.
I'd be happy to purchase the ticket without those two. But then if you told me, hey, did you hear? The co-main event is Artem versus Pauly, I'd be like, yes. I mean, now I'd be really happy because I know I'm going to get to see two boxing matches that I paid for that versus the one.
Here's what I thought. Zuffa Boxing wants to make a splash, right? Do that fight. And I'll tell you what. You get Artem Lobov to go in and box Pauly Malignaggi, give him the bad motherfucker belt. Because, dude, that's ballsy,
he
man.
He has to beat him to get
I
him.
Know, but still, like, doing the bare knuckle and then doing boxing. Like, you're right. Pauly Malignaggi would never do MMA.
That is pretty ballsy. But, hey, you know what? I think Artem knows the art of marketing, and I think he's just throwing a few things out there, seeing what sticks. It's been a while since he's done bare knuckle. I mean, I think it's been a few months. So I think he's just throwing his name out. But we're talking about it, and I think it worked. And by the way, this Logan Paul KSI thing.
I still don't know who he is.
So they box. Okay, they're YouTube personalities.
I get that part, but I still don't get how they got popular.
And apparently they had an actual YouTube event that was successful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're calling it part two.
It was a draw, right? The first one was a draw, I think.
I can't remember. I don't know. I didn't watch it. But apparently Logan Paul wrestled in high school. And he was like a state competitor. I don't want to just anoint him and say he was a state champ, but hey. I heard he got far or did well for himself.
Is state champ in wrestling? Is that the equivalent of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt when we used to first hear that?
That's pretty hard to be a state champion in wrestling. But in certain states. He's from Ohio, if I'm not mistaken.
Every year, there's how many of them, right? Like, weight classes. I mean, yeah, I get that it's difficult, but is it like the new black belt?
No, I think it's pretty highly regarded to be a state wrestling champion. Ask Adam Hunter. He's a state wrestling champion for the state of Maine.
For crying out loud. Him too?
Well, it's the state of Maine, but still. Yeah. He's pretty proud of it. It can't be easy. You know, you're grinding. I mean, you're basically beating all the different high schools for your state. So California's probably a lot tougher than Maine, but I don't know. Ghost hating over here.
No, I'm not hating. I'm just trying to figure out, because it just seems like that gets thrown out so many times that it's like, I'm starting to think like, all right, what? Is it like Calvary Chapel, like in football when it's 9-on-9 or something like that? Like, are
by
they
the
different?
Way, they're a good wrestling program.
No, now they play 11-on-11, right? I saw them.
Hope.
I looked the other day, and they're in one of them leagues.
I hope, yeah. All right, let's end with this. On the way here, I was kind of just checking Twitter, and it looks like they're getting close on Colby Covington versus Kamaru Usman, UFC 245 here in Las Vegas. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's what has to happen to keep order. Let's be honest, though, at this point, like, they've probably soured. Colby's probably done this way, way before this. But I think even maybe Kamaru has soured his relationship a little bit with the UFC. He's been a little difficult. Colby's always difficult. But it is what has to happen. I mean, that happens in the NFL. There's so many guys there's still guys out there that are in holdouts right now that just can't come to an agreement. So it happens in every sport. But in this one in particular, because there's no labor boards or anything like that, like, the UFC can come down on these fighters and make their lives miserable. I want to see the fight. I think it's going to be fun, but I'll be straight up with you. Like, the matchup itself doesn't really intrigue me. I still feel like there's unfinished business with Colby and Woodley. I've wanted to see that kind of come to a conclusion. The Usman fight, I don't know that I look at that and go, ooh, I can't wait to see how that one turns out. It's just something that has to happen.
But he's a clear number one, and that's the champ, so it's good that...
It's good.
I heard both...
If it happens.
I heard both were having contract problems, so the fact that they figured it out, it's going to happen, and now the division keeps going, and that's, we don't have to go the route of an interim belt or none of that BS or someone just getting cut, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So cooler heads prevailed, and there you have it. Now, that one's not official, but I'm hearing that they're getting really, really close to it. So keep an eye, of course, on MMA Junkie, not just for that, but always, because we are the number one site in the sport of mixed martial arts. Also, follow Goz and I on social media at MMA Junkie George, at The Goz, and for the show, it's at MMA Junkie Radio. Remember to keep it locked all weekend for all of these cards, the Bellator card 227 and Bellator Europe 4, same night out there in Europe. Also, Bellator 228 the following day in Inglewood. And then lastly, the Copenhagen, Denmark card for the UFC is going to be a lot going on this weekend, and we got you covered. All right, we are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.